Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Keyser here on this Tuesday. Usually on Monday at 10:30, we chat with Jonathan Hutton of Outkick. He, of course, is presented by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. Visit Blend Bar in the heart of downtown Nashville today. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars is luxury redefined. Hutton joins us now. Hut, what's up, my man? How you doing?
Hey, Hutton.
Hey, Michelle. Hey, Chase. Hope things are well.
Yeah, doing fantastic. As we're a little over a week away from the draft, I want to start, though, with this news that came out this morning that's not related to the Titans, but Bills GM Brandon Bean told reporters that DeMar Hamlin has seen three specialists and all have declared him fully cleared. He is working out and preparing to play. How amazing is that?
It's incredible. I mean, I'll never forget the scene of just the uncertainty of whether or not he was alive. And I mean, in fact, it was all but certain he was dead. You know, that was the assumption as we watched ESPN and the national coverage of that. And then from that Monday and then the following Friday, when everything, you know, the news kind of flipped on the optimism, was crazy, just nuts. And, you know, I maintained on that Tuesday morning, Jace, the safest place, it sounds crazy, the safest place that he could have been to suffer a heart condition is on the field,
yeah,
inside of a stadium, because they have the best of the best. They have different cardiologists. They have first responders, and they are literally right there. Had that been any other place for any other person walking down a sidewalk, or, you know, just going about your day in a grocery store, chances are you're not making it. And that's what's so – he's so fortunate because of where he was. The sport he was playing played a factor, but so did the stadium where he suffered that issue.
Yeah, so really, really cool news to see that this morning. All right, Hutt, you've covered the Titans for a long time. You've obviously, you know, worked for the team and Titans Radio and been around them, and you know how fans can be. they're fans for a reason. But when I look at all these mock drafts, I'm seeing more and more that have the Titans, whether they stay at 11 or they move up or what have you, they somehow walk away with a quarterback. So the fan voice inside me, you know, starts kind of getting in that mode of, okay, all right, they're going to go find their guy. This is what they're going to do. How do you think fans are going to react if they don't? If they end up going the non-sexy pick and they get an offensive lineman with 11 or somewhere around that, what do you think the reaction is going to be?
Well, I mean, Chase, this team has so many different holes, right, across the roster, especially on offense. So I think the reaction is going to be, okay, let's see where we're headed. What's the lukewarm reaction before we buy into, okay, another offensive lineman? But I think the fans know as much as anybody, this team on the offensive line is the way we would say their identity is built right now on offense. It's the offensive line. And right now that means they don't have an identity. Let's just be frank here. That must be an upgrade. But the quarterback, you're right, the quarterback has been the discussion, because it has been a discussion since last year when we knew the cap hit on Tannehill. And the quarterback is the discussion for every team, especially in the AFC. When you start to look at who's winning and who's not, when you start to look at the gauntlet of what you have to do to get to the Super Bowl. And Tannehill got close with a AFC championship game, but that was a Derrick Henry-led team in a year where they had an exceptional group of offensive weapons and an offensive line that was amongst the one of the better ones in the league, and everyone was clicking on all cylinders. That is not the case over the last year and a half. And so they've got to get back to what that version of the Titans offense looked like, and it doesn't necessarily have to be Ryan Tannehill. I'm on board with drafting the quarterback just like the fans are, okay? I'm not trading up to 3 from 11 currently to do that for the price tag. I know some would, but as you factor in, and if I've got another 60 seconds on this, I'll when you factor in where this team is right now and what you would have to give up to move up to three, if it's the same price tag as what the San Francisco 49ers did for Trey Lance, you swap first round picks, you give up a first round and a third round next year, and then you give up another first round the following year. So the quarterback that you're going to have, hypothetically, would not have a first round pick to pair with him until 2026. That just doesn't fit where this roster is, because this roster isn't chock full of players on rookie contracts, cheaper contracts. And I think they're better served to wait and see what happens. Schefter's trying to float this out there that we're not going to see the run on quarterbacks to begin this draft. Maybe, maybe not. But if not, that's going to push players down to the Titans. And if the quarterbacks make a run early, I'll tell Titans fans too, Chase, that's okay, because
right,
you're going to get a very good player pushed your way. And this is a very, very good draft for offensive tackles, a very good draft for pass rushers, and a very good draft for corners.
Host of Hot Mike, Jonathan Hutton, is on with us. Jonathan, how do you view the Jalen Hurts historic contract that was released yesterday, and how do you think that that'll impact future quarterback contracts for players such as Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, and obviously the list goes on and on and on?
It's going to impact them because they're about to be, individually, the next highest paid player in the National Football League. The interesting one is Lamar Jackson, right? But start with Burrow. I think Burrow should go last. So,
yeah.
I think Burrow should go last.
Sit back, kick your feet up, and you just wait,
Joe Burrow. Smoke that cigar.
Hey, if we're just chilling at the bar at Yeehaw and Old Smokey right now, the three of us, are we all in consensus saying the group we're talking about, Burrow's number one?
Yes, absolutely.
100%.
Okay.
So Burrow's going to be the highest paid player in the NFL by the time the season kicks off. That's the assumption. Jalen Hurts, from where he was, and then where he was the national championship game, went to Oklahoma, ends up starting as a backup, but then in the NFL becomes the highest paid player in the NFL for contract number two, is extraordinary. And he earned it. I think $175 million is the guarantee for injury. I think that's a key number for a future contract for these guys too, for him. And as you look forward, Justin Herbert, I think, the Chargers would be smart to go ahead and get in line and get that done, because what that's going to do, the contracts look huge right now, and it's going to end up pushing them down. By the time we get to 2025 or maybe even 2024, where Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen are currently are like fifth and sixth in pay. And a year from now, they will get a restructure. And then they will become the highest paid player in the NFL again, because my money's on one of those two going deep in the playoffs. And then Burrow would already be there and the money would look right. So these guys are going to set another restructure for Mahomes and Allen, and Burrow should go last because he would remain in the top tier with those two guys, and his contract, not Watson's, would end up being the one that everyone would look at.
Jonathan Hutton is on with us. Jonathan, switching to college athletics a little bit, a big story that came out regarding NIL was one of Syracuse's top donors decided to not fund any of their NIL incentives because of a disagreement with the chancellor. How do you foresee NIL just impacting the movement of players in college athletics as a whole moving forward, considering there still is no set of rules or regulations from the NCAA since, I guess you could say, the toothpaste went out of the tube?
Yeah, and this is an interesting story in Syracuse.
Oh, believe me, I know him when he would bring Tom Brady and
yes,
to games. The infamous Mike Vrabel FaceTime with Tom Brady was at a Syracuse basketball game when he was deciding to go to Tampa. So it's a big deal around.
He brought Drake there once, didn't
he?
So here's the deal. This guy gives about $2 million. And Michelle, correct me if I'm wrong on the numbers. He gives about $2 million in name, image, likeness to the basketball team. And the chancellor, for whatever reason, doesn't like the look of him bringing celebrities to the sideline, to the baseline. I don't know why, but he this guy has been doing that. And I think this is more, and maybe I'm dead wrong. Maybe I'm too naive. This is more about Boeheim not being the mediator than anything else to me. As soon as Boeheim is out, this happens. And this is the, and there's nothing wrong with this. Don't take this the wrong way. People like Chase, who are the brainiacs, this is more like the academic side versus the athletic side to me battling than it is NIL and big money boosters. This guy could be a John Ruiz for Syracuse. And Syracuse could be a big player in that. They've got that guy. He didn't even go to their school. He did not attend Syracuse. Yeah. He's just a Syracuse fan wanting to help out. And they're telling him, hey, calm down. Stop making us look bad, quote unquote, by bringing celebs to our basketball games. It's just kind of a dumb reaction for a guy who could go anywhere and he's choosing to go. And to my knowledge, he's not being obnoxious with it. He's just on TV all the time representing Syracuse. And the chancellor doesn't like it all that much.
No, you're
that's how I take it.
You're completely right. And the funny thing is once NIL became legal, I mean, this was happening way, way, way before NIL became legal. Now it's a problem, but the celebrities were showing up far, far before that. Just quickly, Hutton, as we round out, do you foresee NIL being, you know, a problem in the academics versus the athletics in colleges moving forward, just kind of as a broad picture type thing?
I guess it could. I haven't heard the student athlete term thrown out there recently. They're expanding the playoff. That at one point the argument was, the kids need to go home. You know, they need to spend time with their families during fall break after some really difficult finals in their schedule to get ready for. The upcoming spring season and semester. No one's mentioning stuff like that anymore. No, these guys are. I think eventually we will see a branch off of the haves and the have-nots for the most part. And from a Title IX perspective, it's going to be interesting because I think we could see some. And I'm looking in the deep down the line here. Could a football team, could a football program just become a football club? You know, there's a rugby club at MTSU that doesn't count against the Title IX restrictions and requirements. You don't have to match that with another women's sport because it's not a part of the quote-unquote athletic department. The college football playoff is not underneath the NCAA umbrella. It's its own entity. It's not like the NCAA tournament. It has its own staff and crew. I wonder if football gets to a point like that overall, and then we begin to really see the haves and the have-nots. And you're either in or you're underneath a structure that is governed by the NCAA. There has to be some give and take from both ends because it's so far out of the bag, and the teams up top, they're not giving anything back because they're the ones making and determining, in some cases, state law. Just ask Texas A&M.
Yeah, it's continuing to be fascinating to watch this evolve. Hutt, appreciate it as always. We'll be listening 2 to 5 today on 94.9 The Fan with you and Chad, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. But look forward to talking next week.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you, guys. I'm about to hop in the car, and I'll have you tuned in.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Jonathan Hutton from OutKick joins us every week, usually on Mondays at 10:30. But joined us today, brought to you by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. I told you earlier we're going to give you a chance to win tickets to see the Steve Miller Band that is going to be coming to our city at First Bank Amphitheater on April 30th. This contest is presented by Green Trees Company, a family-owned CBD and cannabis company in Hendersonville, and online at greentreescompany.com. But you must tell Nick Kieser the answer to this question. We talked about quarterbacks, the 2020 draft. Obviously, Jalen Hurts was a second-round pick in the 2020 draft. There were three quarterbacks taken in the top six in that draft. Joe Burrow won overall, then Tua at 5, Justin Herbert at 6, but there was another quarterback taken at the end of the first round. Tell Nick Kieser who that is. 615-737-1025. First person to do that will win a pair of tickets to see the Steve Miller Band coming up April 30th at First Bank Amphitheater. 615-737-1025. It's Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063 The Game.